Good morning, everyone. Well, it's morning where I am. I am actually recording before I go to church because I don't know, but I felt the Lord leading me to get on and go ahead and record. Welcome to Bless the She That Believe. If my voice sounds like weird, it's because I'm literally just waking up not too long ago. So welcome to Bless the She That Believe. We're on season 3, episode 14. I can't believe we're almost like we're way halfway over the season. This is awesome. So before we get started with anything, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for this day. Thank you, Father God, for your love for us. Thank you for your grace for us, Father. We thank you for your peace, which surpasses all understanding, that's able to keep our hearts and minds. Father God, we thank you so much for your sovereignty, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word that's going to go forth. Lord, use your vessel, Father God, and you get all the glory, Lord. Let your word fall on good ground. Father, I just thank you right now that there are no hindrances, no delays, no denials to what you are doing right now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, this episode I call Quit Checking the Milk. Quit checking the milk. And the reason why I say that, I feel like the podcasts that I do now are reflective of what I've gone through during the week. And this week I was reminded to quit checking the milk. If I could sum it all up, that's what I would say this week was. The reason why I say quit checking the milk is because I've heard an analogy that I love, and I refer to it quite often because of who I am. The analogy is when I'm trying to make sure I tell it right, because I'm literally just waking up. Okay. The analogy is constantly asking the Lord about a particular situation that you've been praying on is equivalent to checking the milk to make sure it's cold once you put it in the refrigerator. It's not going to get cold unless you leave it alone. The Lord is working on your situation. You go on about your life and quit checking to see if he's doing what he said he's going to do. He said he was going to do it, so trust that he's going to do it. And the reason why, I said that if I could sum up this week, it would be quit checking the milk, is because Friday I woke up, and now when I mention Friday, I was trying to remember what it was I wanted to talk about. Well, I'll mention it here. It's fine. So I was like, oh, that could be a podcast topic. Anyway, Holy Spirit is leading the way he needs to lead, so I'm just being obedient. But Friday morning, I woke up. Now, I don't know if you remember, but I think it was last season when I was talking about how the Lord was wanting me to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I wasn't being obedient. And every time I don't wake up at 4 o'clock, I'm late to work. Well, Friday, I woke up at 4 o'clock, and I woke up at 3:30, and I was like, now, come on now. My time is 4 o'clock. I need 30 minutes. So I woke up at 4, and I didn't feel like doing what I usually do, which is reading scripture and thinking about it and just, you know, whatever I do after that, which it is whatever it is. I can't. But I wanted to do something different, so I read the scriptures, but I actually ended up journaling later on that morning. And I do want to mention that how you spend time with God is how you spend time with God. You have to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes The Lord may want you to just sit in silence. Sometimes the Lord may want you to just worship. Worship is not limited to a church building. You are the church. So you have, like it says in 1 Corinthians, did you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So the Holy Spirit is in you if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, if you profess Jesus Christ as Lord. The Holy Spirit is in you. So your worshiping is, can be singing a song. It can be just sitting in silence. It can be writing, you know, it could be reading scriptures. Like, that's worship to God. And a lot of people think that worship is when you get to church and y'all are praising God and the drums are going, the organ is going. That's not necessarily, I mean, it's worship, but it's not, that's not the only kind of worship. So a lot of people have that misconception that worship is just when you get to the building and it's a bunch of theatrics going on. That's not, that's not the only type of worship. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, I can't speak for God, but I bet, I'm willing to say, I'll say it that way. I'm willing to say that he would prefer us spending more time alone with him than rushing to do something that's rudimentary. Like, every Sunday you wake up, or, you know, and you do the same thing in order. Like, that's how we end up putting God in a box, to be honest. I'm not saying don't go to church. No, go to church. You need to be in a fellowship. That's what the Bible says. Do not forsake yourself, the assembling of yourselves with one another, with the brethren. Like, you need to go to church because the Bible tells us to fellowship with one another. But what I'm saying is, what do you do to worship God outside of the building when it's just you? Are you thinking on him? Are you meditating on his word? Are you sitting and waiting for him to speak to you? You know, it's just so much that I feel that we get stuck in these routines. We get stuck in these routines, and then we get upset when God doesn't move. Or we get upset when he doesn't move the way we want him. Oh, if we used to the Lord moving one way, don't let the Lord decide to go a different way to move. That's a whole, we get upset. Why? He's the God of the universe. Why are we mad because he decided to do something different? That's the same way as, this ties in. So that's the same way as we pray and ask God to help us in a situation or to fix something, whatever it is. Let God do it a way that's different than what we pitching in our head. We gonna flip out. We're gonna flip. Why do we do that? God is not a man. God is God. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the creator of this whole universe. Like, everything. There are galaxies we don't even know about that we haven't even discovered yet. And we're sitting here mad because the God who made those galaxies that we don't even know about decided to answer our prayer a different way than the way we pictured it. Y'all, we need to go sit down. We need to have several seats. This ties in with quit checking the milk, because why are you checking to see if the milk is cold? You put it in the refrigerator, didn't you? Refrigerator on, right? Nah, we put the milk in the refrigerator. Then we got to check to make sure everything plugged in. We keep walking past the refrigerator. Why are we doing that? Because it's out of our control. That's why. Because it's out of our control. It's out of our control. We don't have a say in how it gets handled. And that bothers us to the full extent of botheredness, if that's a word. That really bothers us. I know it bothers me. I won't say us, I'll say me. It bothers me because I want to know. I find safety and security in knowing everything, but then when I know everything, I'm stressed out because I know everything. What kind of sense does that make? For all of my parents out there, do you tell your children everything? Because if you do, I'm not even, I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to say what it just came in my head. I'm going to be nice because there's no way you tell your child every single thing that's going on. There's no way. Why would you do that? To be honest, we have a whole generation of students. I say students. We have a whole generation of children who have been privy to information they had no business knowing at the age they found out about it. And that's a problem. Because then they grow up expecting to know everything, expecting that people are going to tell them every little thing that's going on because they've been able to sit at the quote unquote adult table. I don't know about y'all, but in Black culture, we have the children's table, we got the kids table, and we got the grown folk table. And that's exactly how it's said. You got the grown folk table and you got the children table or the kids table. I wish I could still be at the children's table. Listen, the whole time you're at the family function, every time you have a family function and you sitting at the kids table, you sitting there looking over at the grown folks table, wondering what they laughing about, trying to find a reason to go in there until your mama give you that eye. She give you that look like, if you get up and come in here one more time, I'm gonna wear your behind out. Like, you know what I'm saying? The whole time you're at the children's table, you are eyeing that grown folk table, that adult table that you just can't wait to sit at. I can't wait to sit over there. I can't wait to sit at the grown folk table. I don't want to be sitting over here with these little kids. Oh, and it gets worse when you're a teenager and you still can't sit at the grown folk table. You better know you are sitting at the play school table for a preschooler and you are 15 years old. Your legs are too big. You're a giant. Sitting there with your little cousins who are 3 and 4 years old, and you're still sitting over there, and you're 15, 16 years old, can drive a car, and you still sitting over there, and it's making you mad. Well, the day finally comes where you are invited to sit at the grown folks' table. You don't know how to act, but you got to play it off cool, though. You finally get to sit with your aunts and your uncles, your parents, your grandparents, your cousins, your older cousins who graduated to the adult table 2 or 3 years before you did. You finally get to sit over there with them. And you sit there to find out, oh, this what y'all been talking about all these years? You find the stuff out about your family that you didn't know, about how so-and-so cheated on so-and-so years ago when you was about 10. That's why they were sitting at the table that time crying and angry and saying all kind of crazy things. And then you find out somebody took somebody else's money when this person died. That's why they stopped coming to the family gatherings. That's why your friend cousin had stopped coming to sit at the children's table with you, because their parents had stole money from your auntie Susie. And that, you know, like, you find some deep stuff out. You find out the whole family in debt. You find out stuff that you didn't want to know the answer. You didn't want to know what you leave that family function stressed out, wondering how they made it through all of this stuff. And then you look back at the children's table and see how happy the kid. Oh, Jesus. You see how happy the kids were. You realize how happy you were sitting at their table because you didn't know all this stressful stuff was going on. Now you wish you could go back to being in a child's place, because I sure do. Because if y'all would have told me these bills and what inflation really is when it comes to paying bills, oh, baby, I would have stayed in my mama's house. I would have been 40-something years old still staying in my mama's house, because ain't no way. Ain't no way. Nah. I would have stayed in my mama's house, crammed up in my room with all my stuff. Y'all, I barely had space to move. It was like my room was pushing me out of the room. It was like, you got to go. That was just the Lord preparing me to move in here. Everything that was in my bedroom furnished my whole house. And you would not have been able to tell, but everything in my bedroom furnished my whole house, except I bought another bed. That's because it was time to buy another bed. That was it. But everything that was in my room furnished my whole house. Crazy. People have been giving me like house stuff throughout the years for Christmas presents and everything. So I had everything I needed. I had glasses. I had everything I needed. So other than that, yeah, I would have stayed in a child's place. I would have stayed in my mama's house. I would have never moved out my mama's house. Because it's ghetto out here. But see, we do that. We do that. And then when we find out, what really go on at the adult table, we sitting there looking confused and dazed. Y'all, that wasn't even a scripture. See, I had scriptures pulled up. And the Holy Spirit is moving in a different direction. And that's fine with me. Move, Holy Spirit. I just want you to move like this in service today too, Lord. In Genesis, we go back to Genesis, y'all. Third chapter. It says, when we talk about the exchange between Eve and the serpent, I'm just curious because I have questions about that whole exchange. Because I'm like, you was talking to a snake. So that mean the other animals could talk? Because if the other animals could talk, that was pretty cool. But, you know, that's just something totally, that's just me and my child mind right there. Because I'm like, animals could talk? Look. Because it didn't faze Eve that the snake was talking to her. So I'm just trying to figure, if you weren't fazed by the snake, you must be used to the animals talking to you. So it must mean the lions could talk to you, the bears could talk to you, all the other animals could talk to you. So I'm just trying to figure out. But you know what? That's neither here nor there. I'll get my answer when I see Jesus. Because I'm definitely going to ask, so the animals could talk? Okay, that's all I want to know. I got other questions too, but I'll hold on to those. So anyway, verse 6 of chapter 3 in Genesis, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and also and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. See, here's the thing. Their eyes were open. See, when you move from the children's table to the grown folk table, your eyes become open to things you didn't know about. That's because you lose your innocence, in a sense. You lose your innocence, in a sense. Okay. I wasn't saying it twice. Y'all know what I mean. Okay. You lose your innocence in a way. There we go. Because you had no knowledge any of that stuff was going on. To you, everybody in the family got along great. Everybody, and then you move to the adult table. You find out your aunties just reconciled after 20 years of not talking to each other. You thought they was just moving about in the house in silence because, you know, they were thinking about what they was cooking, trying to make sure the macaroni and cheese and the potato salad was going, you know, was together. And no, they just weren't talking to each other. But now your eyes are open to seeing that. And you putting things together like, oh my gosh. See, the Lord, when he, okay. Yep. This is about me. Okay. When the Lord is working in our lives, he's not telling us everything that's going on because it's none of our doggone business. It's not any of our business. Because see, the more your eyes are open to things, the more you try to put things together yourself. Woo, Jesus! Who? Oh my gosh. That hit. Y'all don't understand. The more your eyes are open, the more you try to put things together yourself. And it's jacked up when you try to do it. Because look at what Adam and Eve did. And the both of them, and the eyes of both of them were open. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Can y'all imagine how you sewing fig leaves together? What you got for string, for the thread? Them was the most jankiest outfits probably known in the history of mankind. Those probably were like falling. The leaves is probably falling off in places that won't be mentioned here. You know, like, because you... Oh. Because the best that we can do is still not good enough. Because we're flawed. The best that we can offer is still not good enough because we're flawed. But we know so much. That's why, in my opinion, the way technology is moving is so dangerous for us right now as human beings. Technology was created to enhance what we were already doing. Yet we are allowing technology to take over. Yes, there are many, many wonderful things that technology has allowed us to do. And I'm so grateful for that. I mean, it's because of technology that you're hearing my voice. Like, I am so grateful to the innovators and the inventors of technology and the different spaces technology has allowed us to come into. I am. However, I understand we're in a fallen world and there are some evil people out here. There are some people who are so evil and they are desiring evil continuously in their heart. And they will take that same thing that was meant to help people and better human life, and they will turn it into something that is so devious and so demonic, because what does the Bible say about our hearts? They're desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? People are out here doing some evil stuff with this technology nowadays. And I it's only going to get worse. It has to, because the Bible says so. Things have to get so dark that when Jesus comes back on the scene, it's going to rock the world. So just be careful with how you're using technology. Seriously. All these AI generated games and stuff, I don't play them, because how you put my face on all of this stuff, where's my picture going? You see what I'm saying? Like, how is my picture being? It's just so many things. I'm not even gonna get into it, because y'all probably think I'm conspiracy theory. I'm not. It's just I'm watching. You gotta have the closer you walk with the Lord, the more you stay in His Word, the more you study the Bible, the more your eyes become open and you start seeing how the enemy is moving. And I mean, I'll be the first one to say, I need to spend more time with the Lord. When I spend time with the Lord, I need to be more vigilant and determined to get this stuff in my head. Like, it's going to be a time where we're not going to be able to have the Bibles anymore. So it's like, whatever you have in you, that's what you have in you, and you got to hold on to that. I mean, the Bible already tells us to hide your word in my heart so I may not sin against you. Like, we're supposed to be ingesting this word on a daily basis. That's the only way it's going to stay in us. Like, it's, you know, sometimes, I wonder why the Lord allowed me to be born during this time period, because it's like, oh my gosh, it's stressful. Because when you start seeing stuff, y'all, when you see stuff, when you pray for the Lord to give you His eyes and He opens your eyes to things, and He's not gonna open your eyes all the way, because you lose your mind. He allows you to see a little bit at a time. It'll mess you up. Seriously. You'll be like, what in the world? And he'll be like, that was there all the time. You're just now seeing it with a different set of eyes. Yep. So you just have to be vigilant, be watchful. But anyway, that was for y'all and me. The more our eyes are open, the more we start trying to put things together. Like I said, with Adam and Eve, they put the jankiest outfit together. They did not win the costume contest at all. The Lord had to come in after He got the confessions out of everybody. He came in and He rendered verdict unto everybody. And then in verse 21, it says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold. Now, Lord God means that's Jesus. When you see Lord God and Lord is capitalized like that in all caps, that's a Christophany. That's basically Jesus showing up in the Old Testament. It says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, who is us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So, God removed the tree of life out of Garden, because, you know, now you disobey God, because sin is disobedience. Sin is a category, but sin is basically disobedience. That's all sin is. You going against what God said. If God said go left and you go right, you're in disobedience. You sin. Okay. So because man sinned, God had to take the tree of life out of the garden. Because can you imagine living forever in sin? Oh, Jesus. Like, they already were probably eating from the tree of life, but that was before they sinned. That's why if you go through the Old Testament, like the genealogies, you'll see the ages of man, like how is it? Diminishing? I don't want to say diminishing. Basically, time was cut off from their ages. Like Adam lived to like, I think 900 something years or whatever. So he was almost 1,000 years old when he died. But then the next person, it was like 800 years. Then the next person, 700 years. Then 600, 500. You know, because they were not continuously eating from the tree of life anymore. So now they were going to die. And the crazy thing is, Satan said, you shall not surely die. Like, I believe Eve was saying it in the context of, and this is why you can't, this is why you have to have the word of God. See, Eve was going by what Adam told her, because that was Adam's responsibility to tell Eve what was up. She's going by what Adam told her. God did not directly speak to Eve because he spoke to Adam, because Adam was the one in charge. He put Adam in charge. And feminists and all y'all, don't get on here. Don't be emailing me about women can be odd. I'm telling you the order. The order of the family, the familial unit is Jesus, man, husband, wife, children. That is the order. Okay? So when the husband is out of order, the whole house gonna be out of order. That's just how it is. Okay? That's how God designed it. Now, Adam, and this is not what I got on here to talk about, but hey, we're just gonna go in here with this. Adam was right there when Eve ate the fruit. I don't know why he didn't slap that thing out of her hand and told her this. I don't know why he just let her have a whole conversation with the enemy. I don't understand. We'll never know. But all I do know is he was standing right there, because it says she took of the fruit and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And I believe they put that there so that way people can stop blaming Eve. No, we really need to blame Adam. We didn't get on Adam behind, because he was with her and he also ate. He stood there the whole time while she was having this conversation. And to be honest, it's like, what you was doing? Were you waiting to see if she, when she ate it? Because, you know, Adam was in the garden longer than Eve. He was in the garden longer than her. So I wonder if he was like, I wonder what's going to happen. I've been wanting to eat that fruit for the longest time. But he just stood there and watched her do, like, but nothing happened until Adam ate the fruit. Notice that. Nothing happened until Adam ate the fruit. But anyway, that's another study for another day. I do want to make the point that this is why you have to know the word of God, because the enemy was coming at her with a temptation. And she had a whole conversation. There, if she would have just spoke the word and walked away, because there's always an opportunity to walk away from temptation. It's always. But we, for some reason, we think we can just, and when I say we, I'm talking about myself. We think we can just, I'm going to go around it this time. No, don't go near it. Just go another way. Don't go near it. You know, like, it's a story about trying to avoid a pothole or something. My mom told me about it, and it was this person walking on the sidewalk and they walked into a pothole. Okay. The next day they remembered the pothole. So they tried to jump over it. They fell in. Day after that, they see the pothole. and they decide they're going to walk around the pothole, but trip and fell in. The day after that, they see the pothole, they cross the street and go the other way. Because that's literally how it is with temptation. Like, I think I got it. Why do we always try to plan to get over it? The only way to get over it is to flee. Because I know the Bible says flee fornication. That's the only sin that says to flee is fornication. That's really the only one that I didn't see anywhere else where it says to flee gossiping, to flee lying, to flee murder. I didn't see any of those. No, it says flee fornication. Clearly, you're not going to be able to maintain your integrity and not do anything, because that is a strong behind sin. Like, why would you? But because we know everything, remember? We know everything. We got a plan for everything. Quit checking the milk. You can't plan to not. You can't. You have to have the word of God. You have to study the word of God. The only response to the enemy is to give the enemy the word. Jesus had to do it. And Jesus was God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. And he still spoke the word to the enemy. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is written that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written. Like, he hit him with the word. That's the only way. But see, the Bible says to submit yourselves to the Lord. Hold on. Because I got to make sure I say this right. Yeah, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How are you going to submit to God? By being obedient, by studying his word. That's how you submit to God. You submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The only way to resist the devil is to submit to God. And that was a complete, if you go to that verse, it's two sentences. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's one thing. That's one sentence. That is a command. That is a command sentence. It's three different types of sentences in English. You have declarative, you have interrogative, and then you have demonstrative. I think it's hold on. I'm the English teacher in light. I'm trying to make sure I say this right. And it's always that last one that I stumble over. Declarative, interrogative, imperative. I don't know why I want to say demonstrative. Must be thinking about Latin. Imperative sentences, which are orders. Those are the order sentences. So we were given two orders. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's number one. And then resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's number two. Resist the devil. You can't resist unless you submit. How do you submit? Follow with directions. Read the word of God. Study to show yourself approved. A lot of people think those commandments were just limited to 10. No, because I see two extra ones right here. There's 11 and 12. And it's a bunch of them in between before you get to James. You have to read the sentence structure of the sentences. Just like he says, forsake not yourselves, the assembling. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves with the brethren. That is a command. If I tell you go to the kitchen, that is a command. Why do we not think that? Oh my gosh. Quit checking the milk. I have to keep saying it. Quit checking the milk. When God says in Philippians chapter 1, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He already has everything the way he needs it set up. It's us that messes up. It's us that prolongs stuff with our sin. It's us. It is us. It is not God. God is perfect. He is complete in every single way. And he is the author and finisher of our faith. Like, he already has everything set up for us, but it is us who will hinder and delay our own prayers with unbelief, with sin, with talking. Your tongue will listen. It's some prayers you probably not held up because you talk some cold hard cash. You were writing checks with your mouth that you couldn't cash. That you was just because you were mad, you were frustrated, you were wondering why God wasn't moving on your time. Well, look how you were acting. Okay, now I was going to go back to my story. I deterred and went off, you know, but hey, praise God. This week was hard for me. Because without going into too much detail, I'll say that every so often it's like, man, because there was a season where I thought things were going to happen a certain way and it didn't. And now looking back on it, I'm like, okay, that was just a preview. The Lord allowed me to have a preview because the Lord was actually answering a previous prayer I prayed years ago about this situation. And now looking back, I'm like, okay. All right. The Lord was actually answering my prayer, and I didn't see it that way because in my mind, it's supposed to just be fast. It's supposed to go, okay, da 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 da. We here. Boom. Let's done. It's done. Let's get it over with. Like, let's do this. The Lord, like, are you crazy? Is something wrong with you? Like, that's not how this works. Like, this is not how this happens. So, I'm sorry, y'all, if y'all hear my stomach. I have not eaten breakfast. It sounded like a earthquake in there. Like, oh my gosh, it's growling. Like, I need some toast. I have struggled for the past couple of months because the Lord confirmed things. The Lord was showing me things, speaking to me and my mother. That's how I know this was definitely the Lord. And then everything that you cannot think of happened. It's like, wait a minute. That's not what was. So I've been struggling with the Lord about that. Like, I thought you said this, and I know you said that because I wrote it down. So what's going on? You know, and I know you're not supposed to question God. I was just confused because I'm like, okay, I know your ways are higher than my ways. I know your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I'm just confused as to, I just want to make sure I heard right, because I don't want to be a crazy person thinking I'm hearing from the Lord and it's not. I feel like I made this, like, did I make this stuff up? Like, I couldn't have made this stuff up. This stuff that happened was way beyond my control. Like, there's no way I could have made this stuff up. Like, there's no way. So that's really, it's not even about the situation. It's more so, I just want to make sure that I heard right. I want to make sure that what I was seeing was what I was seeing that was given to me from you, Lord, you know? So that's what I was asking about more so than, is this really going to happen? And I was on some other stuff. Like, am I crazy, Lord? Like, tell me if I'm crazy so I know. But then if you tell me I'm crazy, then I'm going to be here. But, you know, like, that's where I was. So Friday, I got up at 4, you know, which my alarm went off at 3:30. And I was like, I can't. Well, no, it didn't go off at 3:30. It went off at 4, but I woke up at 3:30. And I was like, I can't. I need 30 minutes now because you told me 4. And I've been getting up at 4. So I woke up. I was reading. And then I fell asleep. But I have another alarm set for that so I can still wake up in time and get ready for work without being late. Well, when I fell asleep, I had a dream. That thing, and I'm a dreamer. I will say I'm a dreamer. I do have dreams. They don't happen often, but to pause on that, I don't have dreams often, but when I do, I pay attention to them because it's the Lord speaking to me. Now, during this season where I'm trying to, I was, you know, having difficulty with the Lord about, you know, the previous season. Before things started popping off, I was having dreams back to back to back to back. And that was weird. And I said, okay, it's something going on. I was having dreams. When I tell you back to back, like every week, every 2 weeks, I was having dreams. And I wrote all of them down. And then when the season actually started, it was like confirmation, confirmation, confirmation. Like, so that's why that's what threw me out. Cause I'm like, I was having a bunch of dreams and they were confirmed. So anyway, fast forward back to Friday. So I had a dream and I'll have dreams, but unless the Lord speaks to me and tells me what they are, I have no clue what the dreams are. I don't know what they are until I'm actually going through them in real life. And then it's like, oh, that's what that dream meant. It was for that. You know, so I had to reach out to my brother and sister in Christ and ask them to interpret the dream for me. They're married. So I, you know, I was on the phone with them. And the brother, my brother in Christ, he is a pastor and his wife is a prophetess, and they live in Buffalo, New York. I mentioned them on a previous podcast, and we were talking, and when we talked, y'all, it's like, I'm going to tell you, it's crazy. I've never met them physically, never physically met each other. But when we get on the phone, we're on the phone for about 2.5-3 hours, sometimes 4. We just talking about the Lord. We talking about the goodness of the Lord. See, I love that kind of carrying on. I love it. We talking about the word. We talking, listen. So I told him about the dream, and he said, you know, when we were all on the phone the other night, he said, the Lord gave me a word to give you. And he told me the word. And then all of a sudden, once I heard the word, the dream made sense. And I was telling them about it, and they was like, ooh. Because what he said, I knew it wasn't like a physical, like I knew it didn't have to do with anything physical. Basically, in essence, everything meant the Lord is doing his work. And when it's time, he'll release it for me to see it, basically. And I was like, okay. And when that gave me so much peace. And it's like, you read it in the Bible. I mean, we just read like, in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I mean, we see the word, we see it there, but sometimes it's like it don't really click for us until somebody else says it. Not that we depend on people to give us the word, which, you know, the Bible does says, how can you hear without a preacher? You know, we do need pastors and preachers and people like that. It's just sometimes it's just not sinking in when we do it, when we're studying it ourselves, or when we're praying, that's why the body of Christ is so important, because y'all, sometimes you get your deliverance by being among your brothers and sisters in Christ, just hearing their testimonies, hearing their quote unquote war stories that they went through to get to where they are in Christ. Like, sometimes that brings your deliverance. Like, so we need each other to like lean on. Sometimes we need to ask for help. Stop being proud and not asking for help. Cause look, for one thing I'm gonna do is ask for help. I don't care how I look. If I need help, I need help. Cause at the end of the day, I'm concerned about my well-being, my spiritual growth. That's what it is. So like, you sit there and act like you don't need to go to that altar, act like you don't need prayer. Please, I'm going to be right there on the floor. Okay? Okay. Now, so when I got that word and it confirmed everything that was in the dream, it confirmed, I was like, okay, that makes sense. And it's like God already has it handled. He's doing stuff behind the scenes. We wondering why he's quiet. He don't have time to baby us and get the work done, which, to be honest, the work is already done because he's resting. Okay. He's resting. That's basically it. What we got to realize is that the things that we pray for, which Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. God is not a genie. Okay, Jesus is not a genie. What that means is when you line up under the authority and conviction of the Lord, when you are in line with his plans for your life, your desires have now become his desires for you. That is why he's able to give you the desires of your heart, because they're actually his desires. What I had trouble with, what I just realized this year, after all this time, the desires that he has put in me from the time I was a child, I have to give those desires back to him, because they're not really my desires. They're his desires for me. I got to lay those things at his feet. When I caught wind of that, I said, so that's what I've been. I said, if I'd have known that, I'd have threw them things back at him 20 years ago. Like, huh, take them. I want to take them. You know what I'm saying? Like, my desire for a family, my desire to have a husband, to be married, to have children, to raise them, like all of that stuff. Those are the desires he put in me. Cause baby, let me tell you something. If I had to be single, I would just have to be, I mean, that would have been fine, because it's stressful by myself. I stress my own self out. I am stressing my own self out. So you think I want to add people to the party? Nah. But he put those desires in me. And then I spent so much time mad at God. Like, what's so wrong with me wanting a family? What's so wrong with me wanting to be married? To desire to be married is a beautiful thing. And the fact that during this time period, I even desire that still is a miracle within itself, because we are in the age where nobody wants to get married. Everybody's out for themselves. You know what I'm saying? And when I say nobody, I'm just saying it loosely. I know there are people who desire to get married, but compared to, let's say, 1950, come on, it's a sharp decline in that. People want to just be with whoever they want to be. They want to do whatever they want to do. Lawless, just a lawless world at this point. Like, just no kind of conviction with anything. And it's crazy. It is crazy. But to still want, to still desire to be with just one person and have a family and raise that family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is just, it's rare. And for many years, I have struggled with, God, why you put a desire in me, but you not letting me do that? Like, I just want to do that. Like, and that's what I've been butting my head with. I've been going, hey, been trying to go toe to toe, but I can't, because his sandals are larger than mine. I can't go toe to toe with God on anything. I can't. I've been hitting my head up against a brick wall, but when it finally dawned on me, I'm supposed to get this desire back to you? Huh, take it, because it's stressing me out. It stressed me out because I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to manipulate and maneuver stuff to go my way, and it don't work. God won't let me have my way. And that's where some of y'all are. Get that thing back to the Lord. He put the desire in you for whatever it is that you're desiring. And it's not bad. It's not bad because he put it in you. But give it back to him. You got to give it back to him. Because if you hold on to it, nothing's going to happen. You're going to keep messing stuff up. Just like I would mess everything up. I kept hoping that this guy was my husband, hoping this one was my husband. None of them are your husband, but you would know that, Stephanie, if you would have gave a desire back to God. He would have gave you the eyes to see, this is a demon right here. That's a straight up demon. I don't even know why you wasting your time with that one. I mean, Mrs. Fix-It, Mrs. Bob the Builder. That's who I was trying to build. He did not give me the gift of construction work. That is not my portion. I am not to build a man to fit the image that God wants him to be in. Ain't no way I can do it. And if I tried to, I'd be just like Adam and Eve with them fig leaves. Janky. That's it. Janky. So just leave the milk alone. Quit checking the milk. God has it. He has prepared. If God could prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, why can't he prepare the table of a family for you? Why can't he prepare a table of your financial breakthrough? Why can't he prepare a table of your promotion? Why can't he prepare a table full of love for you, full of joy for you? Why you won't let him do that for you? Stop. He's our Heavenly Father. He wants to, he withholds no good thing from those who love him, who are obedient to him, who those who trust him. He's not going to withhold any good thing from you. That's what the word says. So why are you still checking the milk? Stop it. And let me tell you something. The more you keep opening the refrigerator, the more you let the cold air out, that's going to get the milk cold. So therefore the milk is going to spoil. Bloop. So the milk is going to spoil if you keep checking on it. What happens to a dream deferred? It's not the Lord. And you know what? To be honest, if you keep taking the milk out of the refrigerator, keep checking on it, he's going to give you the milk. And then what you going to do with it? Because you don't have a refrigerator. You don't have nothing to keep it cool. Even if you could put it in a cooler full of ice. Even if you could put it in a cooler full of ice, it's still not going to get it as cold as it needs to be. It's still not going to be as good as it would be if it came out of the refrigerator fully cold. Even if we could do what we think we need, what needs to be done, even if we could get to whatever it is we prayed for in our own strength, it still wouldn't be as good as if God did it himself. Because we are flawed human individual beings. We are flawed people. Our words aren't good enough. Our words fall short. We fall short. Everything we touch falls short. Unless God puts his hand on it. Unless God gives us the strength to do it. Let God take care of the milk. And you go sit down somewhere. That's all I got for y'all. That's all I got for y'all. I got to get ready for church. I'm about to be late. But I pray that y'all all have a great week. Thank you for those of you who are tuning in from Canada. Number one spot listening to my podcast. Shout out to Canada. Somebody send me a plane ticket so I can come visit. No, I'm just playing. I want to go see the Niagara Falls, like straight up. I want to see the Niagara Falls and some other stuff I want to do in Canada. Just to be in Canada. But anyway, thank y'all for those of you in Canada shouting y'all out. Thank you for my hometown, Brunswick, Georgia, tuning in. Thank you for Ashburn, Merced, Jacksonville. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to my podcast every week. Y'all show up for your girls, so I really appreciate it. Y'all show up not just for me, y'all show up for the Lord. Thank you for showing up for the word of God. That's the most important thing. It ain't even about me. Show up for Jesus. Show up for Jesus. Thank y'all. And I hope y'all have a great week. And I will talk to y'all later. Bye.